years later, after the Petibra of Chaim Veloshin, was a lot of talk regarding writing a little bit about the life's work of Reb Chaim Veloshin and what he stood for in order that these facts remain available for many, many years to come. There was a Yid by the name of Reb Yudel Epstein. Reb Yudel Epstein was a Talmud of a Talmud of Reb Chaim. In other words, one of the famous Talmidim of Reb Chaim Veloshin was a Yid, a Goyen by the name of Reb David Tevel, who was the Baal Nachlas David. Nachlas David is a very well-known sefer learned in Olam HaYeshivas, Masechet Bava Metzia in particular, there's also on Masechet Bava Kamet. And in a number of areas, the Nachlas David brings the unique Peirushim from that he heard personally from Reb Chaim Veloshin, which is not available anyplace else. But these were personal chidushim that he himself, as a Talmud of Reb Chaim, that he heard from him. So, this Reb Yudel Epstein was a Talmud of the Nachlas David, and the Nachlas David was a Talmud of Reb Chaim. So he writes, Reb Yudel Epstein writes, that Hinei Levayer Gdulas Rabbeinu Shebegoylo. He says, in order to do justice, to write about the Gadlus of Rabbeinu Shebegoyla Hagoyin Moran Reb Chaim Zalman Veloshin, to write about Hadar Goinoi, he says, the glory of his Goinus, Charifusoi Ubikiyusoi, his Charifus, and his Bikiyus, Tidkosoi Vechasidusoi, the Sichos of Hatoiris, and his pure Shmuzen, Ashishoma Ozni, that I heard, the Pimeiri Hagoyin Reb David Tevel, I, Reb Yudel, heard this from my Rebbe, Reb David Tevel. Says, Reb Yudel, he says, Ein b'koichi keis le'zeknosi. Now that I am already old age, Memele, he says, I, at this age, am not able to do justice to write properly about the godless of Reb Chaim Veloshin, he says. He says, Ki eyeh nitzrach lechaber sefer sholom, I would have to write an entire sefer, asher omnom royu hoyu ma'oid, which would be very important. She yishar achrei arichas yomenu. Many years after we're gone, that they're achrei in ma'ase tokvay shel Rabbeinu. He says, however, he says, I cannot do it, he says, because it's not stam a sefer. To write truly, to bring out the gavlus of Chaim Veloshin, he says, I at my age am not able to do it. Because it really needs a whole sefer to really to be able to bring out the gavlus of Chaim Veloshin. Interesting thing is that many years ago, a sefer from the Goyen, called Ruach Elio, was published. And they took a haskoma from Rav Aaron Kotler. They took a haskoma from Rav Aaron Kotler regarding the sefer Ruach Elio and the Goyim. And Rav Chaim and Rav Aaron, in that haskoma, takes the opportunity not only to talk about the great thing writing the Chedushim of the Goyim, after all, he was the Rabban Shekol Bnei Agoyla, the leader of world Jewry. But Rav Aaron at the same time says, I'm extra happy about the sefer, because being this is a sefer about the Goyen, from the Goyen, they also added a lot of things about Reb Chaim Veloshin, which is very important to have this really being printed. So Rav Aaron in his Askoma, which is really a sefer on the Goyen, mainly, but he reiterates and basically underscores and he emphasizes that his extra special feels the importance of this published sefer, because it also brings out not only about the Goyen, but also the great Talmidim of the Goyen, and namely, it was Reb Chaim and Reb Chaim's brother, which was Zalman of Loshen. And the Loshen of Reb Aaron, let me quote you, the Loshen, how Reb Aaron caught the rights. And he says, Matoiv, is how good it is, Shitzirif Kamet Protin Mugurorim, that he added many details. Maham Hagoso, he says, Hagodosho, first of all, about the Hanogis of the Goyen, so it's not only Chedushim of the Goyen, but also the Goyen's Minhogim. And also Umehan Hogis Talmidov Hagdoilim, Goine Hadoiris. And also that you add in the sefer, the Anhogis of the great Talmidim of the Goim, Goine Hadoiris, Shimeyem Onoshoisim. We are drinking from their waters. Ubiyichud, especially, says Rav Aaron, Hagoin Huemiti, he says, Rabon Chokobene Hagoila Rav Chaim Zechet Tzadik Vikodesh Lavrocha, and the Ochiv and the brother of Rav Chaim, Goin Hagoinim Hachosid Huemiti. Reinu Reb Zalman, Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh Lebroche, Hadoimim L'malachei Moroim, Reb Aaron writes, Hadoimim, he says, the heavenly angels, Chedarkon v'hiluchem hakodesh, because their way of life, lemalo roish, he says, was way up high. The ikvois rabba magodol, they followed the footsteps of the great Rebbe, and that is the Goyen of Vilna, and so on and so forth. And Rabban goes on and on. But just to have a little idea about, again, how the relationship about the Roshim that Reb Chaim Volozhin left to many, many generations, certainly we see the Gedolei Yisrael of the later generations, how they understood to appreciate, of course, the godless of Reb Chaim Volozhin. Notwithstanding, of course, the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim and Ruach Chaim that, of course, that Reb Chaim authored. This interesting thing is, one of the features about Reb Chaim Volozhin was that he was considered to be the main authority on Paskin Shilos of Aguna. It was a question regarding a woman's husband who disappeared, and this woman needed a heter to be allowed to get married, based upon whether halacha recognizes that there's enough halachic proof that the husband is not alive. That's the criteria. That halacha recognizes there could be a lot of circumstantial evidence, but yet maybe in the eyes of halacha it's not enough. Therefore, it's needed a great expertise in these areas. Someone who's a great mumche has to be someone who's very great. He has to take upon himself to be matir of aguna. And whenever Shilos of Aguna came out, before the heter was actually stamped or sealed, was first shown the various Gedolei Yisrael Rabbonim who wrote tshuvas regarding the heter of an aguna, particular aguna. The tshuva was first sent to Reb Chaim Volozhin that he should look at it and give his askomen. So, interesting thing that, especially, by the way, in the area around Vilna, it was an established rule like that. In other areas, it was just done that way, but in the areas around Vilna, it was like an established rule that you could not, on your own, give out a heter concerning Aguna unless it was first shown and received the approval of Reb Chaim Volozhin. But he says something very interesting is that a particular situation, many, many times that Rabbanim would write various heter, come to the eyes of Reb Chaim, he was mavatul, said, not shtetnish, the heter is not acceptable. And so on, many, many times like that. And it's a certain situation, they say, that a particular rov, grad in Odom Godel, habdim in Odom Godel, wrote a tshuva to be matir in Aguna. Reb Chaim looked at it, and he said, I'm not convinced that this is a good enough heter. Anyway, later on, he says, sure enough, the husband of the woman shows up and he's alive. Shows up the Mafreya retroactively that Reb Chaim was right. Reb Chaim said as follows, he says, the Rav who wrote the tshuva was a great goyin. And in his tshuva, he advanced a lot of pilpulin. Not come to Hedyet, who is the husband, who was mabatel the whole pilpul, he said. This person not a Tam Chochem. Come to guy, simple person, and he's mabatel the whole tshuva, all the pilpulin that this Rav wrote. But sometimes it doesn't have to be a second goyin to be mabatel pilpulin. It could be sometimes a Hedyet as well, as was the case. So when I mention one of the very interesting thing is that was said about Reb Chaim, and I have to mention it, that this Maisa Nifla was told by Reb Reuven Dengis himself. Reb Dengis was a Talmud of Volozhin, of the Nzid, not Reb Chaim Volozhin, but he was a Volozhin, a Talmud. He was a Goyin HaHador, Gedoy HaHador, tremendous, tremendous Ilui. Of course, he lived in Yerushalayim, and he was the Avdezin of the Edach Redis in Yerushalayim, as we know. Reb Dengis said he had this might, he says he was Mekabel Ish Mipish. You know, he wanted all the way back, in other words, wasn't a broken chain. This mice was told over, all the way back to the time of Reb Chaim Volozhin. It was a very interesting thing that Reb Chaim had a minug, and by the way, Reb Shalom Shadron used to repeat it many times, Reb Shalom. It's printed one of his fun, Shalom Vichov Yagetcho, in one of the Chalokim there. So Reb Chaim had a minug, self-imposed minug, that he would not make a bracha over anything unless there was somebody next to him to be able to answer amen. In other words, if he needed to eat, or whatever the situation was, and there was nobody to answer amen, he wouldn't make the bracha, and he would refrain. He wouldn't eat. And this is based upon the Zohar HaKodesh. The Zohar HaKodesh says, if you make a bracha and there's no one there to answer amen, it's like a letter that has not been opened. Okay. Not a chiyuv, but this is something that Reb Chaim felt this is what he wanted to do, and he committed himself to that. Turns out that one particular evening, very late at night, way past midnight, Chaim was up, and Chaim was very, very thirsty, and he felt he needed to drink, but so late at night, everybody's asleep. There's nobody around to be able to be next to him when he makes the bracha, nor to be able to answer amen. So Chaim does what he does. He's committed to his minhag, and he does not drink, and he tolerates the thirst, and he suffers the thirst, if you will. It turns out that after a little while, he hears a knock on the door. Opens the door, and goes, comes in one of the bachrim of the yeshiva. One of the bachrim of the yeshiva happened to come in late at night, which is unusual bechlal at this time of night for anyone to be up. And this bocher bechlal did not have a custom to be up late at night. And sure enough, at this particular time, at this particular bocher, knocks on the door and comes in. And he comes in because he wants to talk and learning. So I says, very well, this is, I need you. I use you. Can use you. And B'chaim makes the sha'akul, and he drinks. Then he makes the boy in the foshes. The person answers Omein. He speaks and learning. And then say goodbye, bid him goodnight. B'chaim had a tremendous simcha. He said they did not, of course, need to break his minug. And he was able to make a bracha answering Omein. And of course, he gave the bracha a great thank you, a great yashar koyach. He says, but you made it possible for me to make a bracha and have someone answer Omein. The next morning, Rav Chaim comes into the yeshiva, he goes over to the bocher and he thanks him again. I want to thank you again. He says, I want to thank you again. He says, for giving me the opportunity to make a bracha, make yourself available, that I should be able to make a bracha and you answer Amen. And the bocher says, what do you mean? I never was there. I never came last night. He says, what do you mean? He did not know anything about the entire maise, and the way it was interpreted, very simple, that being that Reb Chaim, the tzaddik that he was committed, he will not make a bracha unless someone is there. A shliach was sent min hashomayim, who looked like this particular bocher, that Reb Chaim Achlau should not have any kashas, who had the appearance of that particular bocher, was sent min hashomayim, and then he left. It was not that bocher at all. The commentary used to say, the fact, whether it was Eliyahu HaNavi, whoever it was, that he decided, plan was that he should disguise himself like that bocher must have been a Baal Madrega also. To choose his surah, Dafke, to be the one to take on his appearance, that bocher, he also must have been somebody who's an Adam Choshev. But this was a maestro that Reuven Benghis, he said he had it in the Kugel Ish Mipish. The bocher, the actual bocher, said he never was there, and Chaim's imagination, it could not have been, he never was there. Chaim knew, of course, that this bocher looking like him was there. But it had to be somebody else. He said it was sent from the Shemayim who looked just like this bocher exactly, which is one of the bocher in the yeshiva. So this is, again, Reb Chaim Belozhin. So we begin, Rabbi Yisrael, we are up to here in Perek Yutes. Again, this is Perek Yutes, and one more Perek, mentioned next week, Perek Chof, which still deal with the deep Kabbalistic inyonim. And again, we're not skipping the entire thing as many shiurim people do, but we take out just some of it, or maybe even most of it, but it's going to be actually this week and again next week. Next week is Perek Chof, and Perek Chof Aleph, so to speak, goes back to the like normal topics, the normal subjects of learning. So we go continue here in Perek Yutes. And we take a look at Perek Yutes, as Reb Chaim begins over here, he says, Vizehu Inyan HaKosuf. So Reb Chaim here again is going to reiterate and extend further the concept that every person's soul is endowed of three chalokim. As again, Reb Chaim mentioned many, many times, is the nefesh, ruach, and the neshoma. So again, the nefesh is the lower part, is the lowest mandrega, that's the base, the lowest, that's the animalistic part, which is the life force that even the animals have it, chayas, and all types of creatures have that. Then comes the next level, which is ruach, which is only man has that, which is the higher level, and that usually is, again, speech. Ruach is keneged dibur. And then we have the highest level, which is neshama. So it is nefesh and it is ruach and neshama. What Reb Chaim mentioned in the previous perek, what the Kadosh Baruch Hu made is that these three, there should be a link like a chain. The nefesh should be connected with ruach. What he pointed it out is because assuming that they are one on top of the other, nefesh on the bottom, so the peak of nefesh, the top of nefesh is right under the bottom of ruach. And the peak of ruach, the top of ruach is right under the bottom, as it were, of neshama. Nefesh, ruach, and neshama. And B'chaim goes on to point out here that v'zehu inyan hakosuf, that this concept that we just mentioned is reflected, it says, in the following posik. The posik says, in Mishlei, ruach ish yechalkel, it says, mechalosoy, mechaleu. Actually, we'll say for the literal translation. The translation is that the ruach of a person will sustain him in his sickness, in his machlo. The ruach of a person, yechalkel, will sustain a person in his machlo. When a person is sick, it's the ruach of the person that will sustain him. And then says the pasuk further, the ruach necheyo mi yisoeno. But who, me, meaning me, but who can support a broken spirit? In other words, a broken ruach. Ruach necheyo. If you have a broken ruach, who can sustain it? In other words, who is able to support a broken ruach? So B'chaim wants to explain what is the meaning of this posik. Again, the posik says that the ruach of a person will sustain him in his sickness. But if you have a broken ruach, he says, who will able to sustain it? Who will able to support it? So B'chaim goes on to say, what the Pasuk means is, when it's talking about someone who is sick with an illness, rotzeh loymer, what kind of illness are we talking about? We're talking about spiritual illness, says Reb Chaim. The Pasuk in Mishlei is talking about rotzeh loymer, hamachlo, he says, v'chelas ho'ovoin shol b'chines ha'nefesh. Reb Chaim says, when the nefesh element, which is the lower element, when the lower element basically becomes sick, so to speak, it's afflicted by a person's sins, and he wants to do tshuva, you know how he can be healed? By the way, Reb Chaim says most averus are through the nefesh element, which is the lowest element of the person. So the nefesh element, when a person sins, becomes afflicted. How does it become healed? When he wants to do tshuva, it becomes healed because it's connected to the ruach. So it's the ruach that supports and lifts up the nefesh that has been drained and has been so blemished through sin. That's what the Pasuk means. Ruach ish, it's the ruach element of a person that will sustain him during his illness. It means when his nefesh became afflicted, that's the illness. His nefesh became afflicted through averus. As he says here in the bracket, shistam roigu avoinois mitsuyois, most of the person's sins, says Ubchai, most of the time, it's bebchines ha-nefesh, because he atachtoina ha-kroiva le-sitra achro. Because it's the Bechin of Nefesh, which is the lowest part, that's the lowest part that becomes tempted to sin. It's closer to the Sifra Akra, it's closer to, than of all the elements. This is the closest to the Sifra Akra, which is to the evil forces. And he quotes the Pasuk in Mishlei. Pasuk in Mishlei says, Ragleho yordois modis, her feet lead to death, yordois. Which means one sins with Yerideh, with the lower element. Nefesh is the lower element. And also another Pasuk. The Pasuk says in Vayikra, v'nefesh kisechto. The Torah emphasizes that a person's chayta to which element of the three? To the nefesh element. And then there's another Pasuk. V'hachatoyim ho'ele b'nafshoysom. Again, those who have sinned, b'nafshoysom with their element of nefesh, which is in Bamidbar. V'har b'kiyoytzeh. And many examples, where in most cases, a person sins through the element of nefesh. The element of nefesh therefore becomes afflicted. And he goes out to point out, Ein Etzchayim Shar Huakudim, gives you references, Upri Etzchayim Shar Kriyash Mashalamit, and so on. So now, when a person's nefesh becomes ill because of sin, Yochoylehi Lehisoke, it's still possible that it can be healed, the Gamlalois, and it still can be elevated, Al Yedei Bechines HaRuach Kenizker Leyel, through the Bechina of Ruach, by the Ruach element. So the nefesh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it such that nefesh should be connected to ruach, that through thereby being connected to ruach, the ruach portion, he sinned with the chelik ha-nefesh. So the nefesh can be healed when he wants to do tshuva by being connected to the ruach portion, which still remains the kedusha. What happens if a person sinned and he afflicted and he tarnished his ruach portion? In other words, speech is connected to ruach. So let's say his chatoim, his averus were through various elements of speech, lashon hara, rechilis, maybe dvaram betalim, tzchoik, vekalos roish, all of these in yodin. So how does the chelik ruach, how does it find its tikkun? Well, chelik ruach now again is connected to the neshama portion. It's underneath the peak of ruach. So Reb Chaim goes on further to say, that vim ho ruach necheo. And if a person's ruach element is necheo, it's afflicted, it means it's marred by sin, by avera. If the ruach is necheo, if the ruach is marred, shepogam v'kilko b'chines ruchoi, that he basically tarnished, he tarnished and he blemished the b'china of ruach, the element of ruach, al yidei avoinois, hatluyim b'chines ruach, through doing averas which are connected to ruach, as we said, most cases deals with the inyanim of speech. So then the Pasuk says, Oz mi yisuena. Instead of me meaning who, as a question, that's simple translation, me, who's going to support it? Me also, by the way, is a name. What is it, a name? Nizera HaKodesh, in Kabbalistic sources, the Nishama is referred to as me. I'll tell you a reason soon. The Nishama portion is called me. The B'chaim L'Pshat, me is not a question, me, who. But the Pasuk says, mi yisuena. It is the me that is going to be able to uplift and to heal. If Ruach needs a tikkun, where does Ruach get its tikkun from? Which element will help Ruach? That's the Neshama portion. The Neshama portion is called me. Me, Yisuena. It's not a question, it's a statement. Me. The Chelik me, which refers to the Neshama, Yisuena will be able to uplift and to help heal the Chelik Ruach that has been tarnished, because he sinned, we're talking about now, by the means of tarnishing and blemishing the Chelik Ruach. He did those averes that are totally, that are connected and that are linked with the element of ruach. Os miyus uena, Reb Chaim points out, the posik means, tikunoi hu, that the tikun will come, right? How will it be healed? It will be healed al yidei bechinis ha-neshoma, shenikras mi. Neshoma is referred to, it is called mi, as ki yedua bezoyar, as is known, Reb Chaim says mezoyar. Mezoyar is known that neshoma is called mi. The Gedal Yishor, one of the Nechaimis, also points out, he says the idea is, the neshoma is called mi, because the neshoma, which is the higher level of all three, and we know that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Chamishim Shari Bino, the highest level of all levels of understanding, which goes higher and higher and higher. There are 50 levels. And the Derech Klal on this world, most people cannot reach the 50th level. The maximum you can reach is 49. And as it's pointed out, the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Chamishim Shari Bino, Kulon Nitnu L'Moshe Choser Echad. Even Moshe Rabbeinu had 49. And on the other hand, the Pikabola, it's also mentioned that Rabbi Kiva happened to be in that Nikuda, happened to have the special privilege of being able to touch and to tap even onto the 50th Chelik, which is a different discussion, not for now. But Mi is Mem Yud, that's 50, right? Mem is 40 and Yud. Mi, that's called the Olam HaBino. That's called the world of Bino, which is the world of Tshuva, that's the highest world, the world of the 50th floor, the 50th stage. So Mi Yisrael, the Neshama represents the 50th level of Bino, the 50th level of Bino, of Havon, of understanding, that's the highest, highest, highest level. So Mi is referring to Neshama. So brings the Gedal Yishor, he says, on the Pesuk it says, Uchalavi Mi Yekumenu, by Bolok and by Bilam. It says Mi Yekumenu. It talks about a person who had a Yerida, who slipped and he fell, but you can do Tshuva, Mi is the world of Tshuva. In any case, Mi Yekumenu, you're able to lift yourself up and to be able to find strength through the being connected as closely as possible to the Inyan, to the philosophy of me. So in any case, so in this paragraph as we have over here, so as Reb Chaim tells us, so this is again, this is the idea, the notion that we have these three elements, Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama. The Lamai said that they are closely connected, that if one is Chayte, in the lower element of Nefesh, Nefesh will find a Tikkun through Tshuva, to be able to be healed and to be able to be uplifted through the Ruach element, which is above it. And if a person basically sinned with the Ruach element, and the Ruach element will be able to be supported and become uplifted, that is through the Chelek and Neshama. Nefesh is connected to Ruach, and Ruach is connected to Neshama. So we have to go now, Rabbi Yisai, we have to skip this next area, this is clearly, clearly very deep Kabbalah. We go in your editions, go to Daf Samach Dalet, so just a little further, go to Daf Samach Dalet in the regular editions of the Nefesh HaChaim, where it says, V'hu Inyan Marei HaSulam. Daf Samach Dalet. Okay, v'hu inyan mara hasulam. So basically what Reb Chaim says, something very, very incredible over here, going on in this next paragraph. Reb Chaim now is referring to the dream of Yaakov Avinu, where he sees in his dream, he sees the ladder. And the Loshon of the Torah is, of course, that Vina, he sees that there is the sulam mutzav arzo, that there is a ladder which is stationed on the ground, and v'roisha, in the top of the ladder, is magia shemaimu, which is the heaven. Now, what Reb Chaim is going to tell us, first of all, and that's something as an introduction, and that is that we have already been told many times that man basically is a microcosm, is small-scale counterpart of the higher world. It's something that Reb Chaim advances many, many times that we had in Nefesh HaChaim. That man basically is a microcosm, and he represents, like in a sort of like a small scale, the counterpart of the higher world. And Reb Chaim goes on now and says that this is borne out, and this is how Reb Chaim interprets the union of the latter. What is the message of the ladder that Yaakov Avinu sees in his dream? V'hine, says Reb Chaim, inyan mare hasula mutzav arzo. It says mutzav arzo, with the literal translation, mutzav arzo, by the way, means, watching that the ladder was standing on the ground, the literal translation means, mutzav arzo means standing toward the ground. That was something that we had many, many prokim before. Mutzav arzo. Arzo is like mutzav le'eretz, because a lamed in the beginning is substituted by a hey at the end. So says Rashi. By yele choron, instead of le choron, is chorono. So arzo is instead of le eretz. Imagine sulav mutzav le eretz. It should have really said, as Reb Chaim says, v'lo omar mutzav oretz. It doesn't say that the ladder is standing on the ground, although that would be the simple meaning. But the posik advisedly uses the loshen, ela arzo, sheperusho, where the meaning of the posik is, The literal translation of Mutavarza means that it's standing towards the ground. Umashmoy, and the Pasuk is continuing to tell us, right? And the Pasuk continues to tell us, Shirosh Iker Shirosh B'Shamayim Mimal. What does it mean that the ladder is focused towards the ground? If the ladder is focused towards the ground, it means is it's on a journey towards the ground. You know what it means? It means is that really that the source of the ladder is in Shamayim. Because the normal understanding of the reading of this Pasuk means the ladder is standing on the ground, but it reaches all the way up. So it means it starts from the ground. That's the normal understanding, right? That's the way everybody understands it. The ladder is, right? Its feet are on the ground, and the top goes to Shamayim. Chaim says it's the other way around. The source of the ladder is in Shamayim, and continues to come down, 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 down towards the ground. So where's the Shayrish of the ladder? The Shayrish of the ladder is in Shamayim. It's coming downward, it's being lowered and lowered and lowered towards the ground. Not like the simple understanding is that the main source of the ladder is on the ground, extending all the way up, just the opposite. The ladder, the shayrish, that's what the B'chaim says, that's what the intent of the Pasuk therefore means. Because if it's going towards the ground, it's coming from someplace else. It's coming from uppermost high. And it's going towards the ground. Its journey is towards the ground. Ela arzo min sheperush aliyaris. So the mashmoy therefore is that where is its main source? Its main source therefore is in Shemayim Mimal Umisham. And it's from Shemayim Umishtalshu, right? It originates in Shemayim above and was lowered down to earth. As a prime example. Mishtalshel V'yoyret Al-Oret Yagia. So it really originates from Shemayim above and it's lowered down to the earth. So Chaim tells us, if we're saying that the top of the ladder, that's really the source of the ladder. The top of the ladder, that's really its source. You know what it's referring to? It's referring to the neshama. To the neshama element of man, which is the uppermost high. Says Reb Chaim, Vehu ha-nishmat Chaim. The top of the ladder, says Reb Chaim, symbolizes the neshama element of a person's soul. Vehu ha-nishmat Chaim chelodon. Because the neshama, which is the higher, it emanates from heaven, right? Shemitzatzelis. It means it emanates. Where does the neshama emanate from? The neshama, which is the highest, highest, it emanates kibiyokol, no less than the breath of HaKadosh Baruch himself. Many times Reb Chaim reiterated, neshama tom loshin neshima. Neshama tom loshin breath. Who is breath? Not my breath. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's breath. So neshama is actually HaKadosh Baruch Hu's breath. So that's the top of the ladder. The top of the ladder, which is the uppermost high, is referring to the neshama of a person that comes directly from, it emanates from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's breath. It emanates from the breath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mouth. Umisham, and from there, from up high, it's lowered. It's lowered down to earth. Umisham, mishtalsheles kisulam. And from there, it's lowered like a ladder or a chain, mishtalsheles, either like a ladder or like a chain. And now it makes contact with the Ruach element. Because being you have to realize, Neshama is higher. So naturally speaking, Neshama and Ruach would be far apart. Because Neshama is directly, is the breath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mouth, as it were. So therefore, being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that there should be a connection between all three, between Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama. And Neshama is also high. So how's the connection made? HaKadosh Baruch Hu lowers the Neshama, lowers it. So it should be able to make contact with the Ruach element. That's what Reb Chaim is saying. That it's Misham again, Mishtal Shelis. From there, from uppermost high, the Nisham is being lowered, Kisulam like a ladder. Mishtal Shelis or like a chain. Umiskasheris and Maruach. And now it makes contact with the Ruach element. And the Ruach is also higher than the Nefesh, relatively speaking. Everyone is higher than the other. But the Ruach is also is being lowered, the Nefesh. It's lowered all the way. It is lowered until, with the nefesh, until, as we say, which is seated inside man down here on earth. So this is the way it was constructed. And Reb Chaim goes on to point, so Reb Chaim tells us that the sulam really is really the symbolism between what? Between the neshama coming down, the sulam starts up there, doesn't start down here. It's going towards the earth. So down is being lowered, the neshama is being lowered to make contact with ruach, and Ruach will make contact with Nefesh and actually be contained within the body of the person. That's Ruach HaNefesh. Neshama, remember, is not, after the Chet of Adam, is not actually, it used to be, but then it's just above, it's hovering above the person. The person just gleans sparks of the Neshama, Chaim said, after the Chet of Adam Rishon. But this idea that Sulam represents the Neshama and so on, coming from Upper Most High, Chaim says, it's a Zohar HaKodesh, he says. Don't think that I'm telling you some wild ideas, some wild theories. He says, V'chein b'furish b'raya mehemno, parches nosoi, on the Pasuk v'yipach ba'apov nishmas chayim. Take a look over there. And he says, the Isamar Bey, it brings down that v'yachloim v'nei sulam. And the Zohar says, sulam vada ihi nishmas chayim, directly. Sulam, that's nishmas chayim. So this idea, what the Chaim is now presenting to us, finds its source in the Zohar HaKodesh. Sulam represents the Neshama. And where is the Shayr? The Shayr is not down here, because it's the Neshama. Now we understand. The Sulam comes mutzav arzo. It's going, being lowered towards the ground, because it emanates from uppermost high. And that is really the Neshama of a person, which comes directly out of the breath, from the mouth of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, is being lowered to make contact with Ruach, and Ruach then will make contact with Nefesh. There's Reb Chaim now. And the Pasuk continues there in the dream. It talks about the Malachim. Talks about the heavenly angels. Oilam v'yordim boy, going up and going down. Reb Chaim says, V'hinei malachi elikim, oilam v'yordim, as I already pointed out above, Chaim spoke about it before, in earlier prakim, he says, malachi elikim, oilam v'yordim boy, let me just say it again by heart, whether angels go up or they go down, boy, is dependent on man. As he pointed out, man actually controls his behavior, can make it or break it, and has extreme effect in the upper worlds, destroying them or building them. It all depends whether man does good or does the opposite. And man actually has the influence on the malachim, whether they are higher, on a higher madrega, whether they are on a lower madrega. It all depends on where the level of a person's nefesh, ruach, and neshama is. Where is he at? And as he points out, Reb Chaim, just a gab, as we pointed out, Reb Chaim said last week, he said, even when a person sins, neshama is so far high up, his avera cannot blemish the neshama portion. At most, what it can do is to the nefesh, right? And even the ruach can be tarnished, but not neshama. But man, through his actions, by lowering and degrading and destroying even his nefesh, what he does is also destroys, because man is the microcosm. Let's remember, man is the microcosm of the upper world, and therefore what he does is sort of like we said many times, like a remote control. Whatever he does down here has tremendous, tremendous effect. What's happening in Shemayim. Therefore, Chaim said, we'd be able to see. He said, you have a screen. You'd be able to see what's happening up in Shemayim every time a person makes a move, for good or for bad, to see the positive, to see the negative. As a result of his actions, the person really thinks twice before he actually makes his next move. Chaim goes on to say, therefore, regarding v'hinei malach elikim oilam v'yordim boy, the vision regarding the angels, right? We see the vision regarding the angels that are going up and that they are going down the ladder. You know what that signifies? It signifies that the madrega of the malachim at any given moment is determined by man's actions. There's Reb Chaim, Shekol aliyosam v'yiridosam. Whether the angels go up higher, whether they come down, means where they're lowered. Lowered means from the level of Kedusha. Up and down means higher in Kedusha or lower in Kedusha. That's what it means. What does it depend on? It depends on, as he said, v'chosidre hanagosam kol rega. He says, all of there, all this, I left out a few words before. Tolo yurakifi netiyas maseho v'diburo u'machshavto b'guf odom korega. In other words, man's actions, his speech, and his thoughts, those elements determine the status and the madriga of the malachim. Again, tremendous, tremendous influence and far-reaching powers that man has. That malachim elikim oilam v'yardim boy. It depends. If a man's level of nefesh is higher, the malachim are higher. If a man's level of nefesh is lower because he sins, so then the malachim are lower as well. Malach elikim oilam v'yardim boy. Boy. Tula means, as we said, referring to the neshama. It depends, where is your neshama at? Where is the level of your nefesh ruach and neshama? Where are you at? So according to man's actions, that has a direct effect on where the malachim will be, and so on and so forth. All right. So now if you take the next paragraph, let's take a look. The next paragraph, Umano Amu. He says, Umano Amu, says Reb Chaim now, something very wonderful. Reb Chaim brings a beautiful moshul, a beautiful parable. He says, Omri Razal, Rabbi Zeinu, Zechoyin of Rochim, Yerushalim, the Tainis, Pergbeis, Bishlochi, Bishem, Rabbi Yerchin, and Omar. There's a beautiful moshul which illustrates this idea Reb Chaim points out. Bishlochi says, Bishem, Rabbi Yerchin, Shita HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shemoi B'Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically attached his name to Klal Yisrael. Imagine such a thing. We have Zoyche. HaKadosh Baruch Hu attached his name to Klal Yisrael. And there's a tremendous reason for that. He says, Moshe LeMelech. And the Rishalmi gives us the following Moshe. It's a Moshe, you can imagine if you have a king. Jehoilo Mafteach Shul Paltrin Kitano. In other words, a king was once, he was pondering about what to do with the key to his palace. A king has a key. And he was just thinking, he was pondering what to do with the key to his palace. Omar, and he reasons as follows. He says as follows. He says, if I leave the key lying around, it'll get lost. Happens many times. What's the answer? What's the answer? What does the king say? He says, El hareini kodeya bo shalshalas. But rather what I will do is, he says, I will attach a chain to the key. So now he says, she'im ovdo, that if the key is lost, tehei shalshalas monachas aleo. In other words, I'll pull the chain to retrieve it. It's a marshal. So the idea is, you attach the key to a chain, but for some reason you can't find the key, so you pull the chain. Pull the chain, can retrieve the key. There's the Medrash, actually the Rishalmi, that the same thing is, kachom HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know who the key is, because Baruch Hu is the Melech in the Moshul. And the king is pondering what to do with the key. You know who the key is? Man is the key. You know why? Because you open and close worlds. You are a key. Man is the key to the upper world. Man has the power to open and close the world. His maisim, his actions, his machshava, his dibur. Man is the key in the Moshul. Man is the key. Because Baruch Hu is the Melech in the Moshul. And man is the key. Because Baruch Hu says, if I allow the key to be lying around, in other words, if man would just be left all to himself, he just might get lost. Like in the Moshul, the key gets lost. And you can get lost in a way that he may never find himself back. Meaning he gets lost. He lives in a world. He can become assimilated. And in a great danger, they will not be able to find himself back. The key is lost. What was the idea? What's the Eitzah? The Eitzah is to attach the key to a chain. Because Baruch Hu attaches his name, a man, to the Jewish people, which means that no Jew will ever be lost forever. If he really wants to find himself back, he'll be able to. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu attaches himself. It's like the key connected to the chain. You pull the chain, and in the middle you retrieve the key. It's a tremendous moshul. How the Yerushalmi puts this together. Moshe Rabbeinu says it here.
So in fact, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Im ani maniach es Yisrael kemo shehen,
if I leave the Yidden be to where they are, right? If I give them free rein, if I merely give them free rein, he says, Hein nivloim b'umas oilom, they'll be swallowed up by the nations of the world. So in order to prevent that from happening, to prevent them being swallowed up, El hareini mishatei b'shemi ha-godol b'hem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what I will do is, I will attach my great name to them. So Reb Chaim goes on to say, the truth is, if you think about this moshul, so to the Heim Zal Bibru, if you take the moshul translated literally, it talks about the nation at large, right? It talks about Klal Yisrael being lost. The Heim Zal Bibru in Yeklal Uma Yechido. They speak about, the parable speaks about the Jewish nation as a whole. But Reb Chaim said, but the same moshul applies to the individual. The exact same moshul. Although literally translated, as we see it in Yerushalmi, it talks about the Jewish nation at all being lost, if not for the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu attached his name to them. But the same thing applies to the individual also. It applies to the individual. He says, Omnam einayim zechoyin lebrocha metayfim kedakam bekoydish. What's implicit in their words, which is added in their words, he says, v'romzu gam al odom yechidi. The exact same moshul applies to the individual person. It applies, and Chazal had in mind the soul of the individual. He said, and as he said, Zichosom Zichroinom Lebrocha Zichat Talmud. We know what Chazal says, something, even Zichas Chul in the Talmud Chokham, has to be learned. There's a lot of learning to be found in their words. It has to be studied. And Reb Chaim says, Shehim Shilu. Because if you realize, this is very exact, says Reb Chaim. That's what it says. The words have to be studied. If the Moshul makes man is the key, so how does man fit? How does man fit like a key? It means, says Reb Chaim, because man, in fact, is like a key because he opens and closes worlds.
That's what the Rambam says. That's what we have to. That's how we interpret and understand Chazal. The meaning and the words of Chazal need to be studied, he says. Sikh and Talmud. Not to be used just haphazardly. They just use some sort of marshal, some wild marshal. It's very exacting. Man is the key. And he points out, Shehim Shiloha Inyan Lamat Teya Vishal Shelis. It's very exacting, he says, that we find that they have compared. They have compared man to, right, the whole Inyan. They compared it to a key and to a chain. Because Baruch Hu with man is a relationship like a key with a chain. How so? How is the man a key? Says Reb Chaim, look at the words. In other words, man opens and closes the doors to the higher and lower palaces. The lower palaces, this world. The higher palaces, the upper world. Man has dominion over all of that. The lower world, the upper world. Lower palaces, higher palaces. Man is the key. He opens and closes them. How does he open and close it? Says Reb Chaim again. Very simple. You know how? Because they are all governed by his actions. Shekula misnahagim ayidei koyach masov b'chinas nefesh. It all comes out through his actions that he performs with the nefesh element of his soul. As Reb Chaim points out, because shehu ikra v'sherosho de b'chinas nefesh kol almin. Man's soul is the soul of the upper world. So whatever you do to your soul, you are in effect affecting the soul of the upper world because it's your soul is rooted there. They're all rooted. They're connected. The nefesh, the soul of the upper world, is connected with your nefesh. And therefore you are connected to the shayrish. Yeshu ikra v'sharosho, he says, the b'chinas nefesh kol almin. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make sure that man should not be banished forever. So the Odoin called Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his goodness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his abundant mercy, he says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'tuvoi ha-godol le-heitiv le-bruov, being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his abundant mercy and intense concern for man's well-being, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Shokat al tekonosenu. He was concerned that we should be able to be healed whenever we need healing. The Yomar Kishbok who said, and now comes the second part of the moshul, like in the key. If I leave the key lying around somewhere without a chain, it'll get lost. So what was the advice was to connect it. The idea was to connect with the chain. So here too, Kishbok who says, if I leave it the way it is. Oh, and by the way, when we're talking about the chain, there's another nekudah. The chain is that nefesh and ruach neshama should be connected, like chain-like. That's another inyan. That's another aspect of the chain. Because we said that nefesh finds a healing and an uplifting by the fact that it's connected to ruach. And ruach is connected to neshama. So now we have the all three elements connected together. So now one will never be lost totally because there's contact with the upper force, and therefore it can find its way back. But if I would leave them all separate, so yeah, his kashru has been hagimul bechinois, nefesh ruach neshama. But if I would have left them, right? If I would have left it, he says, and allow man's nefesh to go at will, so then he says the connection between nefesh ruach and neshama will be lost. What would happen is, and what happened, that nefesh would descend to the lowest rung of the ladder. Ilu ho echot sheyipol bechinas nefesh hatachtoino. The imke mitzulas arachad b'sholam. Because then if a man would sin, and he would descend to the lowest depth of depravity, and ruach will not be there to elevate it and to raise it, nefesh would never find its way back. Ein sheni lahakimoi. You wouldn't have the second element to be able to raise it up. The nefesh, once it's lost, could have been lost forever. Kenyan akosav, we find such a loss in the posik. Regarding nefesh being lost, the pasuk in Vayikra says, "Vahavadati is a nefesh ahi." The pasuk there clearly says that I will destroy the nefesh from among its people. Says the pasuk. "Va'anechash achitas." Therefore, a nefesh that would sin, "Bametes chaper." How would it ever find atonement? So what happened? So therefore, lezois. That being so, in other words, how should he be able to find his way back? Hakadosh Baruch Hu devised a process. Hakadosh Baruch Hu devised not stam a process. He devises a wondrous process. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's why he says, Hifli Yetzah, Hifli, Peledik. HaKadosh Baruch Hu devises, Hifli Yetzah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu devises a wondrous process, Yisbarach Shemoi, What he did is he divides that the three elements, nefesh, ruach, and neshama, that it should connect with each other. The upper, the peak of the lower, will make contact with the bottom of the higher. Right? As he said, the bechina harishayna shalom will yoyna, which means the upper, the bechina tachtoyna shalom madrege shaleo, reaches the lower of the next madrege. As he says, ki'iyin ashal shalas, similar to a chain. That's how it goes. It means that if you have a chain, the way you find is that the top, if you have a chain made up of many, many rings. So the way, you have a chain hanging down, what happens is that the upper, that the top of the lower is fastened to the bottom of the one above. That's the way chain works. That the top of the lower is fastened to the bottom of the one above. That's how Kodesh Baruch constructed it. Nefesh is connected right to the Ruach that's higher. And Ruach, the top of Ruach is connected to Neshama, to the bottom of Neshama, which is higher. That's the way it works. As he says, if you take a look, Ashel Shel, Shekol Tabas Mimeno, every ring in a chain, he says, Kitzas, or Kitzei, or Elyon Shalom. He says, the upper part, the top of the ring, Nechezes is connected, Vinechneses, and goes in to the lower part of the up of the next ring, above it. So if Kitzeya Tachtoin, right, it goes into the lower portion of the higher ring. Shotabas Sho'oleo. Vayidei Kain. So now that way the Kodesh Baruch Hu made a chain between and a connection between Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama, Vayidei Kain, Gamim Yikoreis HaNefesh, So now, even if a nefesh falls prey to the forces of evil, the nefesh can be extricated. How? By ruach. Ruach, which is above it, will be able to be misakin it and to bring it up. By being connected to the higher force, which is above it, which is above nefesh. He says, "V'chein al derech zen." The same thing is bekilkul begam ruach. The same thing if ruach is tarnished, ruach will find the tikkun by being connected to the upper link, right to the chain, which is the neshama. V'zeu she'om arshom, and that's really. And by the way, when it says that Kodesh Baruch Hu's name is attached, it means the chain of these three, because this feature of having this construction of nefesh, ruach, and neshama. Interesting thing, according to Kabbalah, Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama get its strength from the four letters of the Shem Havaya, Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei. Okay, this is a Kabbalistic formula. So that means, because I attach my name to them. I attach my four letters of Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei. Thereby, this is the glue of Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama being connected. That's what Kodesh Baruch Hu means, that I will be Meshatif, my name. Chaim says, V'zehu she'omar. Therefore, it says there, the Yerushalmi, what does it mean I'm attaching my name? He says, Shahagimul Dargin, because the three elements, Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama, right? The Shoirish HaNeshama, and the Shoirish, and even the root of the Neshama, way high up. Mekoyer Shirosham, where do they all come from? All three elements, where they come from? Mahadalit, Oisius, Hashem, Hagodol, Yisbor, Shemoy. It comes from the four Oisius, from the four letters of Hashem's name, which means that the Shoirish Neshama V'yid, the Shoirish Neshama V'yid, Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama, all of it, where does it all get its strength from? Where does it get its power from, its force from? It all comes from the four letters of the Shem Havaya. And these three elements thereby can be connected. These three elements can be connected because they gain their power from the four Oisius of the Shem Havaya. It's interesting just to mention that the Goyim, that the Vilna Goyim, he writes things down in Tikkun HaZoyer. He says, one of the greatest, he says, benefits that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from all the Torah, from all the good things that Hashem does and continues to do, and did, he says, for Klal Yisrael, the best and the greatest thing what Hashem did with Klal Yisrael is that he attached his name, thereby bringing together Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama, but now the life of a Yid is eternal. Never has to be banished forever. Because the Nefesh will be able to find its way back by Ruach, and Ruach, if it's tarnished, finds its way back through being connected to Neshama. This guarantees, he says, the nitzchias and the eternity of Am Yisrael. So the point is that he never has to be lost forever. He has a desire to come back. He really has a desire. He will have within himself the true energies and the sadat shema to be able to find himself back
through the element of tshuva. So let's take a look, Rabbi Sai, now at the sheet. We'll see some fascinating few minutes that we have left. Again, time always moves on quickly. So let's take a look here, first of all. What we're going to do is number two of the sheet. The number two of the sheet. And we're going to do a small piece of Rav Tzadik HaKohen of Lublin. This Rav Tzadik, Rabbi Sai, is in Parshas Vayechi. It's actually the end of Parshas Vayechi. Rav Tzadik wants to give his own explanation to the fact that the question that Rashi himself asked, Parshas Vayechi, you know, in the Sefer Torah, of course, it follows Vayigash, Vayigash Vayechi. And it's a Parshas Tumah. Parshas Tumah means that there is no spacing, there's no paragraph space between the two sedras, but rather it just continues on as if it's one Parsha. And the question already has been asked, why is Parshas Vayechi a Parshas Tumah? It means it's a closed sedra. In the Sefer Torah, there is no space between the end of Vayigash and the beginning of Vayechi. Every sedra has proper spacing. You could never tell this is a new sedra, Vayechi. So Tzadik says many reasons were given. And he says they're all true, but I would like to give you my own. Let's take a look at Tzadik here. And you see how it relates to what we're talking about. Well, Parshas Ustuma. Parshas Vayechi is a closed Parsha. Rabbi Seinu, the Chronim Lebrocha, Nosnu Tamim. This is in Pre-Tzadik, where Tzadik discussed it. And our Rebbe's, means Chazal, have given reason with the Ma Parshas Ustuma. Why is this Parsha closed? The Kulam Devrayemis. The Tzadik says, I'm not trying to argue with any of them. They're all true. I would like to offer another reason. Why is Parshas Vayechi Parshas Tumah? He says, "Ki be'emes ha'inyan hazeh." Because what becomes evident, which is against all logic, Yaakov Avinu, reaches his highest level of kedusha. You know, he reaches it in Mitzrayim. Yaakov Avinu passes away in Mitzrayim. Yaakov Avinu passed away was on the highest level. Yaakov Avinu is the bechir shebovis. He says the choice of all the three of us between Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And Yaakov reaches his shleimus, reaches his highest level. Where does he build Klal Yisrael? Everything. Shivim Nefesh, Yoruba, it all comes by Yipru, by Yipru. Everything is starts in Mitzrayim. Wouldn't logic tell you that Yaakov Avinu should reach his highest level in Eretz Yisrael? How is it that Yaakov Avinu reaches his highest level in Kedusha, Mitzrayim, not only Mitzrayim being outside of Eretz Yisrael, it being a place that's filled with Tumah? Is the antithesis of Kedusha Mitzrayim. So not only it's Chutzlaret, it's Mitzrayim. So if Tzadik says, Ki be'emes ho'inyan hazeh, this inyan sheyushlam Yaakov b'kdushosoy, the Yaakov Avinu should be mashlam, his Kedusha should complete himself. Daikev b'mitzrayim v'loy b'yoretz. In addition, v'sheyizgala v'yagi aloylem klal ha'knesses Yisroel, nefoshes kedoshes mucham l'kabolos ha'teire, daikev b'chutzlaret v'loy b'yoretz. Also the fact that which area prepares Kalal Yisrael to receive the Torah, right? We're on the road to Shavuos now, very soon. Where did it take place? The preparation preparing Kalal Yisrael for Torah also did not take place in Eretz Yisrael. It's from Mitzrayim. Yaakov Avinu reaches his highest Kedusha level in Mitzrayim. Kalal Yisrael becomes prepared for Kabbalah HaTorah. Where? In Mitzrayim. This is the completion of everything. Tzadik says, this is something we cannot understand. This is a Parshas Tumah. That's how the subject says. It's a Parshas Tumah. It's a closed Parsha. Means, how are we to understand with our own logic, Yaakovino of all places reaches his highest level of Kedusha, not in Eretz Yisrael, in Israel. Kalal Yisrael prepares itself, right? Becomes worthy and ready for Kabbalah HaTorah, not in Eretz Yisrael, in Mitzrayim. This is a Parshas Tumah. And the Tzadik goes on to say, And if Tzadik shows that Stuma, wherever something is it's closed, it means you can't understand it. What's the proof? What's the proof if something's structured, closed, without spacing? Because there's another Gemara, it's a Chazal, but Omru, Chazal told us, and it's a Rashi in Vayikra, Ma hoyo hafsokis mishamshois, what is the purpose when you have spacing? The purpose of spacing is to be able to stop and to ponder, to think, to understand. Ma hoyo hafsokis mishamshois, listen, revach lemoyshe leizboinin biparsha leparsha. So you see, hafsokis represents understanding. If Hafsokis represents understanding, so what does Tumah represent? Not understanding. The opposite of understanding. U'ma'asher o'inyin hazeh omuk mo'id, being that this inyin that we just have presented, Yaakovinu reaching his highest level in Mitzrayim, B'nei Yisrael being ready for Kabbalah HaTorah in Mitzrayim, being she'ein b'seichel o'odom le'hizbainin, le'zois his Tumah. So now, here comes the punchline. So we don't understand how that takes place, but it's a reality. What do we learn from that? We learn from that for our daily lives to apply it in our own human conditions, says the Tzadik.
In our own human condition, we ask ourselves, we are now in Golus. We are not, Klali soil has been scattered all over the world. And we are in Golus, we say to ourselves, due to the matzav of Golus, we are not on the madrege that you would expect. That our generation of all generations, are we going to be worthy of Gula? There were generations before us, Ge'oin and G'doil and Tzadikim. We are in that area in Azman, that's what they can say in his time, Medjidrei. So you can ask yourself, and you fall into despair, and you say, can we ever expect to be Zoichet to Gula for redemption? We who are in Golus on the lowest Madrege. The Tzadik says, Mitzrayim gives you the chizik. Mitzrayim destroys this kind of thinking. He says, our hearts should not dissolve. We are now the heels of Mashiach. And as the generations go on, the generations, as we know, get weaker and weaker. So if the generations get weaker, so when's Mashiach going to come? If Mashiach didn't come in the greater generations, in the better generations, so Mashiach is going to come now to the lowest generation. Don't ask that question. Don't, he said, despair. He said, why? He said, because all of the greatness and the birth and the creation of Am Yisrael, where did it take place? Not in Eretz Yisrael. It davke took place mitoch Mitzrayim, mitoch Hagolus, from the lowest Madregas. It came out. They emerged. The daika begolus, davke in Golus, he gave the chol hakedushas. Ki kein rotzen Hashem Yisbarach. Now look at the next few lines. Amazing, amazing words. V'shomati b'shem harav hakodesh mepashischa. I heard from the name of Reb Rabinah of Pshischa. Reb Rabinah of Pshischa was the Rebbe of the Kotzke Rebbe. That's where Kotz came from. Kotz came from Pshischa. So he said, I heard B'Shem HaRav HaKodesh from Pshischa, She'af Shem HaFoshet Miskatnim B'Chodor. Listen to this word. That even though the Nishomis are in lower Madrega every generation, Mekol Mokom HaNekudah She'Belev Nithar B'Chodor V'Dor Yosef. We always speak about that every Yid has what's called the Pintalid. Every Yid has a Pintalid. But Rabbi Binim said, that Pintel Yid is greater today than it ever was. The Neshamas themselves may be smaller, but go deeper, deeper, deeper. HaKadosh Baruch Hu adds to the Pintel, that dot, that we should never get lost. So we have, deep, deep down, we can have more Kedusha, or Nekudah of Kedusha, than even in earlier generations, and much greater generations. The Neshamas themselves may be smaller, lesser, weaker spiritually, but there is the dot, the shayrish, a root, deep, 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 deep down. There is there in the kuda of kedusha, which becomes purified more and more and more. Because Baruch Hu sees to it. So, no matter how smaller the neshamas and weaker the generations get, but if you go dig deep, you dig deep into the neshama of the yid, deeper and deeper, you'll find that it's even more choshev. I want to show you something, Rabbi Yisai. Look at the next, number three, because this is so fundamental. This is another Reb Tzadik, four lines in a sefer called Poiked Akorim. Reb Tzadik, listen to the words of Reb Tzadik there. The Chen Kobalti, I have this bekabola, says Reb Tzadik. The Apol Pisha Doiro is Holchim Munskatnim. The Indo, any generation, every generation keeps going, getting smaller and smaller. Ha Nekudah Shebelev, but the inner Nekudah. The Nekudah Shebelev, Hoyleches, Umizdacheches, continue to be purified, Umeiro. And it illuminates Yoyser b'chol dor Ade's case till the time of the Gula sheyizoychechu legamre until it become pure more and more. So the Pintel Yid of the Yid is now becoming even purer and purer than ever before. So I just want to leave you with the words of Rabbi Yeruchim. Yeruchim is talking to Bochran, talking about his tekufa prior World War II, the age of the Olam HaYeshiva, the Yeshiva world. Yeruchim was talking about a living in a time, we have so many different challenges. And someone makes up his mind and he says, you know what? I'm going to reject all the competing sciences and I'm going to devote myself to learning. So, says Rabbi Yeruchim, you have to see these words. And this is in the middle of an essay. It's in Parsha Shalach, in Sefer Das Torah. Look what he says. Ben Yeshiva Kayoim, today, in our generation. In other words, remember, he's giving, you'll see what he talks about a Ben Yeshiva today. A Ben Yeshiva today is more than a Ben Yeshiva 500 years ago. A Ben Yeshiva today, look what he said, the Voloshin, it's unbelievable Voloshin. Ben Yeshiva Kayoim, HaMitzageya Heitev, who puts in the effort, strong effort, Al Peirotzim Shalak Doilev, who is learning the Torah of the previous generations, Asher Medoira Shalafnim Lufnai, right? And previous, earlier generations. And let's say he's unsuccessful. He tries to understand, he still doesn't understand. So now he's fallen. He becomes fallen by himself. He falls. And he despairs. Zimkol Yigiyose with all of the effort Vadain in Oymid al Dvar of Chaloisa Godl. Says Rabbi Yeruchim, Avosov Kosov, Yitokin Vihinewe Yoysa Godl Mnoisa Godl Asimai. In other words, I'm working on the Torah of the Godl, and I'm not Zoychit to understand that Godl. So you, if I don't understand him, he's greater than me. Says Rabbi Yeruchim, no, you can be greater than him, even though you don't understand his Torah. Why? Why are you greater than him? You're working on his Torah of early generations, and your mind is not able to grasp it, and yet you're greater? He says, I'll tell you why. The emes ki ein sofik b'zeh. He's so positive about it. Elishi efshu l'dabr al zeh kolkach, he says. I don't want to talk about it too much. Why? Then everybody will become a bogaivi, become very arrogant. They're going to say, you're so great, he says. They can't talk about it, he says. Ken avor mo'evo alulim o'evo yishavis balagaivi. So look what he says. Ulam. Halei vadei keinu adover. Bechoshech noira kozeh. When you're living in a time in Tzkufe, where there's so much darkness outside in the world, he says, we have no asoge. He says, we cannot have an idea. Rabbi Yerucham says, a yid in our generation, even a krecht of a yid, a groan for kvod shemayim, you have no idea how choshev it is in shemayim. Because due to the generation, that we are so overwhelmed with all the challenges, with all of the tumas surrounding us, the atmosphere. If we are still able to give even a groan for Kvod Shemayim, you have no idea how far reaching it is in Shemayim. Kayoim, he says, look at the Loshon. Kayoim, hine ben yeshiva, vada yitochen, kem gedoylim yoysim, elu agdoylim hashem edar shalosnim. Amazing thing. Why? Because a person's godliness is not measured to the quantity of your actions. Maybe we do much, much less. Not maybe. We definitely do. Can't compare ourselves. But the little that we do has so much chashivus in Shemayim. And everybody say, give me another minute. I want to show you number 5, because Rabbi Yerucham would have been so happy if he would have seen that, in fact, these exact words, which Rabbi Yerucham said hundreds of years later, were said by the Arizal to his Talmud, Rabbi Chaim Vital. Look at number 5. Masha Omar Arizal Rabbi Chaim Vital. It's in Sefer Shivchei Rabbi Chaim Vital. Pamacha Shu'alti L'may Rizal. Listen to what Rabbi Chaim Vital says. Chaim the Talmud of the Arizal. I once asked my Rebbe, Eichoy Oimeli, how did you, Rebbe, he once told me, Arizal said to Rabbi Chaim, the Shoma is very choshev. So Rabbi Chaim said, I asked my Rebbe, I asked Arizal, how can you say to me, Shenapshi Himal Kol Kach, Kenizker B'Shar HaGolgulim, by the way, in the Sefer Shar HaGolgulim, it's mentioned that Rabbi Chaim Vital's Shoma is so great. Baharei Kotn Shebedoiris HaRishoinim, the smallest in the early generations were greater than the Gedoilim of our generation, he says. I don't reach the heels of the tzaddikim of yesteryear. So how can you say to me, he's asking the Arizal, how can you say to me that my neshama is so great? V'yoymar, and the Arizal says, da, I want you to know. Ki gedulas ha-nefesh eino tluya kifi maisa hodom. Get this? The greatness of the neshama is not according to how much you accomplished, how much you achieved. Ra-kifi ha-zaman, it's evaluated in the times you're living. V'hadoir hahu, ki ma'ase kot ma'oid v'dor hazeh, doing even something very little in this generation, shoku ki kam mitzvahs v'doiris rishoyim. It outweighs many mitzvahs, or it's equal to many, many mitzvahs in earlier generations. Ki v'doiris ha'elu ha'klipa goyveris moid moid, because the forces of tumah are so, so strong, ad in case, without an end. Ma'ashen ki v'doiris rishoyim, they didn't have that. V'ilu ho'yisa ni v'ois an adoiris. What he says, if I would have been, you take me and put me in the earlier generations, or your maisai v'chochmosi nifloi mikame tzadikim reshoinim, would have outdid them. I should alken shlo yitztar al zeklau, I should not have tzar, that you feel that you are not accomplishing so much. Ki b'li sofik, yesh l'napshi maile gedoyle, al kama tzadikim reshoinim mizman tenoim v'amvayim. It's half of a tell him. But if you take a look, you see Rabbi Yerucham said the same thing. He said the same thing. He said, ben yeshivi with this yageya. Someone who is able to ignore the outward influence of the world and still is able to take the time and to study Torah and to do the Rosh Hashem, every little bit that he does today can outweigh many, many times even godless of earlier generations. Gives us a little bit of chizik. And so the Rosh Tzaddik said, the Dafke generations such as ours can have this chus of being zeichet as gula shleima yerotzen, I wish it could be zeichet.